from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the great Charlie O in the building to kick off hour number two with us.
Hello.
Charlie, I got to tell you, look, I love you and I respect you. The fact that you, the boss of this station, text me to ask if you're allowed to come on air, it tickles me every time. And if you're watching on YouTube, Charlie's here. We don't have the means to get the computer up for him, so he won't be on the video stream. But trust us that Charlie's here. Yeah, dude, you just like literally, if you walked in the door and popped the mic on, nobody's gonna be like, Charlie, don't do that.
But see, I don't want to be that kind of. I don't want to be that kind of program director. I know, I'm a brand manager, but I'm really a program director.
Sure. Same thing.
And I don't want to be that kind of PD because I hate that. I hated that when I was on the other side because there's a flow and a design to a show.
Sure.
And if you're into a flow, I don't want to be disruptive. So if you were going to jump into something that was going to be totally off the mark of where I was wanting to go, I don't want to do that because what I've got's not earth shattering. You know, I'm not breaking news here today. So, so if you said, hey, probably not, then okay.
If I told you probably not on July 10th, I would be the biggest jerk face on the planet.
Well, I would be hoping that you were about to break a national story what I was hoping.
Yeah, no, Charlie, we can't get you in today. We got to talk about Dylan Jones from Oklahoma City. And boy, what a job Sam Presti's done.
Oh yeah.
I know you had a gripe with Summer League. I have a real quick before you get to that. I hope that Timmy 2000 in the Chatty House is joking. He said, does Kyle Madsen not realize the Kings had to trade for DeRozan? I did a whole thing at the top of the show
I heard the whole deal.
I hope they're joking. And if they're not, rewind to the beginning of the show, and we explained why we're saying signing and not trade. Charlie, you had a gripe about Summer League. Please.
And by the way, I appreciated and liked your take.
Thank you.
I think that was a good, solid view of that take.
Yes.
So
yes.
I like that very much. Here was my deal.
Mail.
By the way, first of all, I was not at the first night of the Cal Classic. As a kind of a whole little situation to help get more people in the building.
You were in the trenches landing DeMar DeRozan.
I was. Yeah, absolutely. DeMar and I were exchanging friendship bracelets and
shopping for poofy vests.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was taking him down, trying to get him a discount on an MBZ. Anyway, I went on Sunday, enjoyed both games, and then I went back last night, and I was really looking forward to seeing what Coach Doug was going to do with the players, because I really liked the rotation he had set up, and I really liked the way he was working Isaac Jones and Boogie Ellis, and I was really curious to see what he was going to do with Drew Timmy, because it was mm-hmm. obvious to me that Doug was really liking the way that Timmy was playing. Now, mm-hmm. I had no illusions the fact that Timmy was necessarily going to make the Kings roster, but for some reason, I've kind of followed Timmy because he's, you know, his career has been so marred by injury, but I've mm-hmm. he's kind of one of those guys I've been rooting for. And I thought, you know, Doug may be saying, hey, maybe we ought to bring him to Stockton and maybe think down the line about a two-way or something. So I was kind of excited about that. So I get there. I jump up on Media Row. I'm ready to go. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm going, wait a minute. This is a 9-man roster, and where are the other 6 guys? And there's no Jones, there's no Ellis, there's no Timmy. Mm-hmm. So I grab the media guys that I know, and then I grab guys from the Kings, and I go, oh, well, they held them out. They're sending them to San Francisco for the finals tonight. And I personally was furious because...
Oh, we're not applauding that. Sorry.
If I would have known that, I would have gone home, gotten the recliner, and and phoned this in, okay? You know, because, you know, and I don't want to get anything wrong. You know, Arms did a nice job last night. Luau Assul Jr., he's a nice-looking player. I liked what he did during the tournament. He looked very good. But I went last night to see 3 players. And you're sending them to San Francisco. Now, it's not that I can't go to San Francisco tonight. Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, 95.7, our sibling station, is broadcasting the game. Mm-hmm. And we could be there if we wanted to be. I don't want to drive to San Francisco tonight. I'm not driving to San Francisco tonight to see it. But, you know, I went last night specifically to watch 3 players. And for some ungodly reason, they weren't there because they're going to play in the finals tonight. Which
the
is
finals.
You know what? They're going to get a statue with a palm tree on it. I don't know. You know, whatever that's going to be. But I was disappointed also for the fans who were there, because mm-hmm. I, having been there, I knew the fans that were there were a lot of them were fans that were there on Sunday. I'm assuming a lot of them were there also on Saturday. And you know, it wasn't fair to them. Mm-hmm. Who had come, been there, you know, and I know that Joe Lacob, you know, is one of the godly saints of the NBA and everything. Well, you know what? I don't care. It's not Sacramento's job to make Joe Lacob successful. And the Cal Classic was a Sacramento Kings invention, and their job is to super serve Kings fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I was deeply, deeply disappointed. I'm not angry with the Kings, but I'm deeply disappointed that they pulled 3 key players and then wound up losing rather than being undefeated at home.
Let me tell you, Charlie, I agree with you completely. We'll talk about the Mitch Richmond trophy coming up in a bit on the show. But you land in a special class of people for me, where just hearing you say that you're disappointed hurts my soul. If you were ever mad or disappointed with me, I would rearrange my life to make that not a thing anymore. So when you're saying you're not mad, you're just disappointed, that's tough. And I think the Kings should, frankly, take it into account.
Well, the other thing, I feel like I have a right to be disappointed, and here's why.
Yeah.
You see the hat that I have on here today?
Yeah.
Now, first of all, the only redeeming quality was last night. I didn't get a 100th anniversary hat during the season mm-hmm. last year. And last night when I left, and I left early, and I never leave anything early. You know that.
Yeah, of course.
I left in the fourth quarter because mm-hmm. I just wasn't interested anymore. Mm. I stopped by the concession. I stopped by the concession stand at the main entrance on the way out. I got my hat for half price.
Oh, so fantastic.
So that was a good
deal. It's the Kings 100th anniversary hat with the Shield logo with the 100.
And it's in blue with the red trim, and that's important to me because my first NBA game was in 1965, and it was a Cincinnati Royals game.
That's incredible.
Against the Boston Celtics. Mm. So I've been rooting for this franchise for a long time. So I have a lot of emotion tied mm-hmm. to this, and I have a lot of disappointed emotion with this franchise.
Sure.
So, I appreciate Kings fans so much, and I don't really care an awful lot about ownership and that kind of stuff because ownerships come and go and all of that. But fans, these fans are so incredibly loyal and live and die and everything else, and they deserve the best. And last night, their ownership did not deliver the best, and that was wrong.
That's Charlie O. Disappointed in the Sacramento Kings. We will continue discussing that and more with Good Idea or Bad Idea, plus my take that everybody hated that I now feel vindicated on. We'll discuss that as well. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. That was Charlie O. We're on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Be back in a second.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
A major salute to Paz Perez, who's watching the show on Twitter. We appreciate you immensely. But, ma'am or sir, you are a degenerate if you're betting on the Cal Classic Finals tonight. Apparently the Kings are 1.5-point underdogs, and our friend of the program, Paz, has a wager on tonight's Kings Warriors game.
That's tough. Are we gonna look on Prize Picks?
That's nutty. That's crazy. No, I like it though. Kings minus 1.5, plus 1. I think they said they were dogs. So Kings plus 1.5. I like that very much. Let's get to some good idea or bad idea, James. Good idea or bad idea? Betting on the Cal Classic. A bonus one.
Absolutely the worst of worst ideas.
Okay, so for Adam, who asked in the chat during the break, and again, if you're not hanging out with us in the chatty house, I highly recommend you do so. You can do that by going to youtube.com/ESPN1320, and we're vibing there, having a good time. Also, thanks everybody to listening who's listening on the free Odyssey app and on ESPN 1320 on the radio. Good idea or bad idea? We do this every single day. Three things that are happening in the news. We decide if that thing is a good idea or a bad idea. Adam, during the break, because we don't take breaks on the video stream, we just talked to the chatty house, asked what the ding sound was, and I said I use it when somebody makes a good point or if I just agree with them or what. Just it's just kind of like yeah, like a thumbs up, like a verbal thumbs up or an audio thumbs up because this is an audio medium. So we also use that for good idea or bad idea. James, number one. Chris Paul told assembled media at his introductory press conference with the Spurs that playing time mattered more to him than ring chasing. Is that a good idea or a bad idea for Chris Paul to prioritize playing time over ring chasing?
Well, I'm going to say for Chris Paul, it's probably a good idea because his ring chasing never worked, so he doesn't have one, and like, you might as well go ahead and play and try to finish out your career, getting some minutes. I would caution him that, like, look, you haven't been able to stay healthy for, like, the last five seasons. So I guess playing time matters. But also, you know, being able to play and be part of the game also matters. And so I'm intrigued to see how much he impacts that team. And I think going and helping Pop out, him and Harrison Barnes both are going to be there with Pop trying to bring Victor Wembanyama along. I think that's great. I think, you know, they, like, when you're hitting a certain point in your career, you should be giving back to the league. And to me, it's a really cool way for Chris Paul to give back because he does have a lot to give with his mind, maybe not so much with his body anymore.
Yeah, man, I think this is really cool. And I think he might be able to kind of kill two birds with one stone here. Because his contract is only, was it $11 million? That's going to be super tradable. And if there's a contending team that needs a starting point guard or a backup point guard come trade time, that's an asset that the Spurs could move, where Chris Paul has been able to help San Antonio and get to play a lot, but then get traded to a situation where he can compete and also play. So it doesn't, I love, though, that he's not taking a veteran minimum to go be the third point guard on the Timberwolves or Oklahoma City or something like that. I think he thinks he can still play. And I think last year showed that, that he can still be an effective player. And I commend that way more than I commend, like, if he went to, like, let's just say he signs a vetman with Boston and plays 10 minutes a night and they win another title. Nobody's going, wow, Chris Paul's legacy is secured because he rode the bench for a good Boston team and won a championship.
I'm with you.
I don't think that matters much. Plus, he'd be making a couple million bucks, and instead he's making, you know, $11 million to actually play and help out a young up and coming player in Victor Wembanyama, who might be the face of the league in 2 years. So, a big shout out to Chris Paul. I think it's a great idea. Number two, Derek White replacing Kawhi Leonard on the Olympic roster. Is that a good idea or a bad idea by Team USA, this star-studded roster, to go with Derek White instead of a player like, I know Kyrie Irving's name has come up a lot, but that just doesn't fit roster-wise. Instead of a player like Jaylen Brown, Derek White's teammate.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen what, like, the conversations were and who's been there, who's helped out, who's been part of the program. And I mean, because, like, look, if you are making this like a star-studded team, I think Derek White's a perfect fit, but that's kind of not how you've built this team. So I do kind of, like, I feel for Jaylen Brown in this situation if he wanted to play. But like, on paper, this is probably one of the better fits you could have, just because of the way he plays and, you know, the fact that he'll accept any role for this team. And that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, man. I think it's a fine idea, because I think Jaylen Brown could do a lot of the things that Derek White does, particularly if the USA coaching staff said, hey, you were just going to be a defensive stopper, and maybe you'll hang out in the dunker spot a little bit, and maybe you'll knock down a three from the corner, but you're largely going to be out there to run around and play defense. I think Jaylen Brown could have been fine at that. So I don't necessarily think it's a bad idea. I think adding a player like Kyrie Irving would have been a bad idea. Not because I think Kyrie Irving is bad at basketball, but just from a roster construction standpoint, I'm not totally sure that would have made a ton of sense. But they could have done worse than Derek White, for sure. Derek White was just a key contributor on an NBA champion who does the little stuff it takes to win. So I like that a lot. I think, frankly, they need another player like that. So
I do too.
Salute to Derek White, and a big shout out to Team USA. Can't wait to watch them. Last one. I'm changing things up. So if you're looking at the rundown, or if you printed out a rundown, it's going to look a little different. The Kings and Warriors are playing for the Mitch Richmond Trophy, which is a trophy awarded to the California Classic winner. It's just going to be the finals, I guess, between the Kings and Warriors every year. And the winner gets this Mitch Richmond Trophy that looks like a palm tree with some white flags on it. It's very weird. It's very strange. But turning this into a trophied competition, good idea or bad idea?
Okay. I mean, I guess. I mean, like, we got the Bay Bridge series, right?
Which is almost a bad idea for me.
I mean, you know, again, we've seen the Bay Bridge series and how it has, like, the they built a trophy out of part of the Bay Bridge, right? With A's and the Giants. I don't know. It's just kind of weird that this is what you use the Mitch Richmond name on. I get it. He played for both teams. But so did Billy Owens, you know, so did Kent Bazemore,
Chris Webber.
Yeah. So did Nemanja Bjelica,
Dante DiVincenzo.
So, yeah. Dante DiVincenzo. I think we could keep going for a while of players that
Jason
played
Thompson
for Jason Thompson, Omri Caspi.
Oh, really? Good.
Yeah. I think we could keep going for a while of players that played on both teams. Okay. I mean, I guess I think it, like, for me, the California Classic, I hope that they
JaVale
discuss
McGee.
This for next year.
Sorry, keep going.
They get it at one gym, one, you know, they don't do the whole split thing again. I would like to see it all in Sacramento. And I just think it's a better venue for the event. And it's a good way for the Kings to sort of have something of their own. Where, you know, the Warriors have had not only championships, but sure all-star games and stuff like that where Sacramento just gets skipped. So yeah, I think it's cool. But I just don't know that we need a trophy.
Yeah, I don't. That's I guess that it drums up interest a little bit if there's something to play for. But yeah. Is anybody, I know there will be jokes, like there's going to be jokes on the internet, but I just don't, is this something that anyone's anticipating? Like, did this need this? Was there some issue with the California Classic that they said, hey, we can solve this by making it worth a trophy? And if you were going to do that, if you were so hell-bent on turning, because I do think it's good, like the Kings and Warriors being in the what's the word I'm looking for? Being a good-ish at the same time. I know they're heading in different directions, but, you know, being in kind of, they were both in the play-in last year and they met in the playoffs the year before. So being in that same kind of realm at the same time, I think is really good for both teams. I think it's fun in Northern California. So if they want to make it some kind of rivalry, why not do that in the regular season? Why not make it a regular season thing like they did with the Bay Bridge Trophy? And then just turn that into its own separate little, like, hey, here's this Northern California tournament that's happening that nobody else knows about, but hey, the Kings and Warriors know that it's happening and they are fired up about it. That's where I would do it. Instead, you've got the Kings holding out players from the Cal Classic here at Golden One Center, and this is what Charlie was talking about. Again, not like this is a major demerit against the organization. It's the California Classic, but it's like they're trying to win this trophy now, and I think that's kind of weird.
Well, I think it's weird, too, because you're not doing anything. Like, the build-up to it is not where these two teams are. The winners of the California Classic who are playing in the finals and whoever wins it. Like, if you're going to do it, I think having, if you want to have a California Classic championship, that would be fine for me, and the winner could get a Mitch Richmond Award. That's fine.
Sure.
But I just think it's a little strange.
Yeah, very odd. Kyle Johnson in the chatty house said, it's still competition. It's something to strive toward for players who might not get another opportunity. Who cares? Fair enough. Fair enough. That's it. That's all I got. Good idea, bad idea. I had a take that nobody liked, but I felt vindicated after I went and did a deep dive on the take. We'll talk about that next. Jesse's giving me a thumbs down. Jesse, if you want to pop in here and we can talk about it, go for it. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Hitter.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is completely BS.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James, I'm Kyle. Kenny Caraway coming up with a handoff in about 15 minutes. The show has devolved into just naming Kings and players who have played for the Kings and Warriors. We're having a great time in the chatty house.
Yeah,
some great
good stuff.
Some great, great knowledge in the chatty house, coming up with some names and some great knowledge from you too, James, of players who have played both for the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors. Did we do that one time where we created an all-time lineup of players who had played for both?
I don't think so. We could do that. Okay, we could do that tomorrow.
No, we can
do
that. I
don't know.
That.
We got nothing else going on.
We can do that right now. My vindicated take can wait. Boogie playing center, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're putting Boogie at the five. We put in C-Web at the four.
Yep.
C-Web at the four. I feel really great about that front court. Who's playing the three? We got Matt Barnes.
That's a good question.
We've got Harrison Barnes at the three. Harry B at the three. Great.
Mitch Richmond at the two.
Obviously. Oh, who's going to run the point? Dante at the point?
Oh. Maybe. Is that the best that's played for both? I don't know.
That can't be right.
Alec Burks?
There's no way. Alec Burks at the point? Stop.
Yeah, we are. We did leave off Billy Owens. Billy Owens probably could be the three.
Billy Owens over Harrison Barnes?
Kind of
sure
coin toss.
That? Is it?
I don't know. Yeah, we could call it the Gary St. Jean, Rick Adelman, Mike Brown.
That's fantastic. Hey, someone said Corey Joseph at the point.
Okay.
Oh, Quinn Cook?
Oh, yeah, Quinn Cook, play for both. Yep. Oh, you could do Sharunas Marchalonis. Yeah.
Okay, I like that. I think Marcellonis is going to be our point.
He's a Hall of Famer. Yeah.
All right. Kenny, is
there we
he,
go.
Do we feel good about him at the point?
Sharunas?
Yeah.
I don't know. He was fun. He was so much fun to watch. He just karate chopped people all the time. Oh, there's a good one. Bonzi Wells.
Oh.
And Tony Delk. Tony Delk was in the building on Saturday. I saw Tony Delk.
There's a lot.
Bazemore.
It's a lot of shooting guards.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of players that have played for both teams. There's probably like 50.
And it feels like so many of them are in the same tier of player. Like so many of them. And there's obviously some not so good players and there's some really good players, Hall of Famers who have played for both. But it feels like a lot of these guys are like, yeah, he was fine. Can we run Mitch at the one?
Yeah.
We're in Mitch.
I don't know. We could keep making this list. Okay, let's get to it. What are you feeling like you've been vindicated on?
Okay.
I want to hear it.
All right. Let me get my numbers up real quick here.
All right.
Okay. I need you to scroll down on your basketball reference page.
Yep.
And I need you to go to either It can be the per 100 or the advanced, either one of them. And pick a stat from, I'm going to have you pick a stat from those, and I'm going to tell you. I said on the radio the other day. Did I say it on the radio, Jesse, or did I say it at a break? Jesse's not listening to me. It's fine. I think I said this on the radio. It might have been during a break, but I said my quiet take that I did not really want to say out loud. I said it on the radio. It doesn't matter. I said my it's a quiet take that I didn't really want to say out loud, but I said, hey, I'm not sure at this point in their respective careers that the drop off for Golden State from Klay Thompson to Buddy Hield is that significant. From an on-court production standpoint. Obviously, Klay is a legend. He's going to have a statue. His number is going to be retired. He is one of the key reasons Golden State had the run that they had. That is undeniable. He is a Hall of Famer. He is their role in an all-time Golden State Warriors lineup. Klay Thompson is the shooting guard, and you feel great about it. I'm not taking any of that away. But give me a stat out of the advanced numbers and the per 100 numbers. And I'll tell you whose numbers are better. So throw one out there. Give it to me.
Just give me for any player?
No, just name a stat.
Okay. Offensive win shares.
Offensive win shares over the last two seasons. Buddy Hield 4.6, Klay Thompson 3.0. Next.
Defensive win shares.
Klay 3.6, Buddy 3.2.
Oh. PER.
PER, Buddy 14.4, Klay 14.3. Like, they are at worst the same dude at this point.
Yeah, they're like the Spider-Man meme.
Here's the big difference is, one, Klay just has a bigger usage because he's a better player. But box plus minus, Buddy Hield 1.2, Klay negative 0.3. Shooting percentages from two, Buddy Hield 52.7, Klay 48.5. 3-point percentage, Buddy 40.7, Klay 40.0. Buddy averages more rebounds, more assists, more steals, same number of blocks, same number of turnovers per 100 possessions. He averages about a foul more per 100 possessions. But dude, I felt so vindicated because I went and looked, because the bit was going to be, I was going to come back hat in hand and be like, yo, I messed up. But I was right, dude. I'm going to, now don't get it twisted. This is not a Buddy Hield is some great player. I know that by like November 6th, I'm going to be like, yo, I'm out. Get this dude out of my face. I get that. I'm with that. I just wanted to be clear that my take that there was not going to be that steep of a drop off for Golden State and what they need from that player from current Klay Thompson to Buddy Hield was not going to be that steep. And then the stats back me up. So shout out to the stats, shout out to me, and shout out to my take.
I want you to get a hologram shirt that when it's facing one way, it's Clay's head. And as you rotate, it turns into Buddy's head. That's what I want. I want that. Or, you know, the Warriors World guys, maybe they just do a split down the middle with half Klay and half Buddy.
There you go,
Warriors World.
I know the guy from Warriors World. We've done some work together. I say we've done some work. I had a buddy who printed shirts for him, and I would deliver the shirts. That was the extent of the work. But it was unpaid. It was fine. I would super ask him to do that if I wasn't so certain that, like I said, by sometime in early to mid November, everybody collectively is going to be out on Buddy Hield. I know it. He's going to have a bad turnover. He's going to have a bad early shot clock three. And that's the stuff that doesn't show up in the stats is that. It's not the 3.3 turnovers per 100 possessions. It's the dribbling it off the foot in a tie game with a minute and a half left. It's the, like I said, the ill-advised three when you're up two with 45 seconds left, and it's the three-pointer with 18 seconds on the shot clock.
It's looking up, putting your hand out to grab a rebound, and looking down the other way, and having the rebound glance off your hand and go out of bounds.
I already hate it. I'm already mad.
He doesn't turn over the ball that often. Like, if you look at his stats, I think he's like 1.7 or something like that turnovers per game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the style of turnover that just infuriates you. And I'll bring up Francisco Garcia used to do this too. He didn't turn the ball over that often, but when he did, he threw it like three rows deep. And you're like, what was that? What just happened?
If it's going to be a turnover, it's going to be loud.
Yeah, it's loud, and it's also with Buddy, it's you just look at him like, bro, how did you do that? Like,
What are we doing? You're intently watching, and then it's this move right here. It's the forehead to the hand. It's just like just that exasperation. Like I said, I already hate it.
I know there's a clip of Buddy shooting a three-pointer with 20 seconds on the shot clock from like 29 feet, and you can see Alvin Gentry going like this, like in the backdrop.
All I can think about, I don't know if anybody remembers this, but there was a play when Jordan Poole was still with Golden State, where Jordan Poole, it was late in the game, I can't even remember who it was against, might have been New Orleans, but doesn't matter. And Jordan Poole basically waves off Steph to take this early shot clock deep on the move three-pointer late in the game and bricked it horribly. And Steph, like, threw his mouthpiece because he was so upset with Jordan Poole. And that's all I can envision when I think about Buddy Hield in a late-game situation. Now, maybe he won't be on the court, and maybe it'll be a moot point. But, man, like I said, the numbers are all there, and they back me up. But there is somebody said, now check the basketball IQ numbers. And
yeah,
that's where it's like, oof, that's a phenomenal point.
So. Yeah, that's why advanced statistics, you know, they're a good tool, but they're not the end all be all.
You gotta watch the games. You gotta watch.
Yep.
Them. All right. I had a Kings analytics person one time tell me he was being interviewed on a radio program I was on, and he said that you have to watch games, but the numbers are there to help you catch whatever you didn't see. And I thought that was kind of interesting, where he basically said they can't watch every single minute of every single game. So maybe you watch a game where a player just lights it up from three and he's handling the ball and it's awesome, but then you go look and his usage rate is really low and his three-point attempt rate is really low, and it's like, oh, he just, for whatever reason, had the ball in his hands and got hot that night. That's not typical. That's where I think numbers are good. But yeah, you have to watch.
You have to watch. And, you know, I think the numbers can really, especially if you have a large enough sample size, they can tell you where a player is really good on the court and where they're not.
Yeah.
And then it's your job to figure out as a coach how to get a player to that spot.
Yeah.
And get the ball to them in that spot, with an opportunity to shoot in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's complicated. So I think advanced metrics, yeah, they really do help.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd also say, like, again, the Kings leader in PER and win shares, like the last two or three years he's with the team, was Willie Cauley-Stein. And I know a lot of people just out there would just shake their head and go, there's no way that's possible. It's like, yeah, it is. Like, go look at the numbers. Like, he was impactful.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the numbers don't always tell the story. And you can say the same thing about a guy like Hassan Whiteside. Hassan Whiteside knew how to game the metrics straight up.
That's funny.
Yeah. And I mean, he knew exactly how to game the metrics.
Took some analytics courses so he could just inflate the heck out of his offensive box plus minus.
Well, you go look at his stats, you'll be like, oh my gosh, he's the greatest player of all time. And that's even when the Kings went out and got him as their free agent acquisition. He was coming off a season where it was like 15-12-2. And you're like, oh man. And then you watch and you're like, oh no. Really odd.
I think, speaking of players who had really high, higher than you would think, analytics, I believe, let me confirm this real quick. I believe on the 2017-18 Golden State Warriors, I believe, oh, naturally, they're not going to have it. I think JaVale McGee was their leader in net rating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, man, sure. Shout out to
yeah,
three times.
Some of the stats. Things like yeah, that. Some of the stats just like they highlight something very specific that a player does, mm-hmm. but they ignore the fact that in order for him to do that, somebody else has to do a whole lot of work to get there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, yeah. you know, like a good catch, like a good finisher and on an alley-oop, like you need to have a good alley-oop passer and passer yeah. in order to have that guy be a good finisher. And so I think basketball is the one sport where it really does depend on the guys around you.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One other thing that I was seeing a lot on the internet today after Kawhi Leonard dropped out of the Olympics. I need Zach LaVine to get traded. I don't care to who. I don't care for what. I need Zach LaVine's name. I don't want to say revisionist history, but the Zach LaVine standing has gotten out of control. We're posting Zach LaVine highlights. Like, look at this three he hit. Look at how many threes he hit in this game. Look at this dunk. And they're all from like 2018. I'm sorry. I get Zach LaVine is a you know, fantastic talent. But can we, when we're going to assess said talent, can we post highlights from, can we make them within the last 2 years?
Well, but he hasn't played a lot of games.
That's my point. It's like, yeah, Zach LaVine's still this guy. Like, is he? Is he still that guy? Because he made a turnaround three at the buzzer to win it? You're just going to go trade the farm because he did that once in 2020? It's insane, and I need yeah. him to get moved so we can stop talking about Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and, you know, the problem that I've always had with him is, like, the contract is it's obscene, mm-hmm. right? It's probably the biggest albatross in the NBA.
Yeah.
And
ooh,
but the
bigger
other
than Bradley Beal?
What's that?
More than Bradley Beal's?
Yeah. Oof. Oh no, it is. Oof. Yeah, because well, maybe not. Maybe they're equal.
Two very bad contracts.
I think most people would take Bradley Beal's contract before they would take Zach LaVine's. But the problem I have with LaVine is he doesn't play any defense at all. So mm-hmm. you're hoping that he can make up for something on the offensive end that he probably can't. And we'll have to see how that works out wherever he goes. But I think he'll be stuck with the Bulls. And that's just because, like, look, when you sign a contract like that, like, sometimes you get stuck. Yeah. Sometimes you got to pay the piper for it.
Yeah.
You know?
God, I hope he gets moved. I'm just so sick of hearing about Zach LaVine. I'm so tired of it.
Actually,
you know what? I am a pro player person. I hope Zach LaVine gets healthy and is awesome. That's what I hope. I hope Zach LaVine has a great career ahead of him. That's what I really want. And if we want to talk yeah. about him in that context, great. But talking about what Zach LaVine was 4 years ago, I'm just kind of over it. I got some very minor, don't freak out, NBA breaking news from Andrew Marchand at The Athletic. He covers media for The Athletic. The NBA has finalized TV deals with ESPN, NBC, and Amazon. However, anybody fretting the loss of TNT broadcasts and, of course, inside the NBA, TNT, using contract languages, according to CEO of TNT Sports, parent company Warner Bros. Discovery, David Zaslav, he said he's going to attempt to use language in their current contract to remain involved with the NBA. That's according to Andrew Marchand at The Athletic. So the NBA has finalized their TV deals with NBC and with Amazon and with ESPN. TNT, though, could still be in the mix. So that'll be interesting to watch and see if really next year is the last year of Inside the NBA.
$76 billion over 11 years. $76 billion.
Bro, we're going to get like $500,000 contracts, not that far off.
Oh, yeah. No, we're heading there. I think it's 4 or 5 years, and that's what it's going to look like.
Does this do anything for Sacramento? I know not Sacramento specifically, but for teams, and since we're in Sacramento, we'll talk about the Kings. What is that TV deal and an influx of $76 billion, so about $7 billion a year over the next 11 years? What does that do for teams?
Yeah, I think the previous was like $2.8 billion per year.
Holy smokes.
So we're basically tripling. And so when you look at basketball related income, it's split with, I think, the players getting 51% and the owners getting 49%. They're going to do what they call smoothing. So right. The salary cap is only going to increase 10% every year once the new television deal is in place. Every year it's going to go up 10%, but then there'll be an escrow account, and whatever money isn't like reached of that 51% of basketball related income, that will go back to the players. And I don't know how they're going to do that, if it's going to be like strictly based off a percentage of what you make of the salary cap and you know, or what, like, but players will get the money on the back end. It will be placed in an escrow account and then redistributed by the teams.
Jeez.
So if a player is making $5 million, there's potential for him to make like another $2 million with the new television deal.
That's crazy. Yeah. And not that has nothing to do with the cap or anything like that. That's just separate, like, I don't want to say free money, but ostensibly free money.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be taxed heavily, but yeah, it's free money.
Incredible. I know we don't want to overreact to Summer League, but Sam Presti might have done it again.
Oh, yeah?
And I only say that because it's Sam Presti, and they've done such a great job in Oklahoma City over the last two decades of, of not two decades, whatever it's been, 15 years of just acquiring really high-quality talent. Dylan Jones, the number 26 pick out of Weber State last night for Oklahoma City, it was 21 points, 7 boards. He went 7 of 8 from the field and 3 of 3 from beyond the arc. Whew. It's like, of course. Well, and again, not overreacting. Maybe he's not going to be a good player. But the fact that it just, it's hard not to, when Oklahoma City has a player like that who just steps onto the floor in Summer League out of Weber State as the number 26 pick and lights it up. It's really hard not to look at OKC and Sam Presti and go, whoop, they did it again. Like, why not? Of course they did. Why wouldn't they?
They do work off like the laws of percentages, though. You know, they always have like two or three first round picks in a couple of seconds, and they draft a bunch of players, and it's like, oh my gosh, this guy's so good. It's like, what about the other three dudes you just waived? You do always have that. Like, what about those other three first round picks didn't make it?
But if you have set up a process where you can just throw as many darts at the board as you can, and you're going to hit a bullseye every time with one of them, like, you'll take it. That's good team.
No, I guess so. Man. I guess so. They don't optimize their picks as much as they optimize the results from those picks.
Right. Right. Yeah. I know it's not necessarily good news for the Kings that Oklahoma City is going to be as good as I think they're trending toward, but I can't wait to see where their ceiling is.
Yeah, because
maybe it all falls apart. Maybe the wheels come off, and maybe they just wind up just kind of maxing out as a regular playoff team, and they're in the conference finals, and they just never really get over the hump. That's absolutely on the table. But boy, it seems like the sky's the limit for them.
Yeah,
they're also
no, it does.
They're also the favorite to win the West.
Oof, that's crazy. Real quick, NBA guru Zach brings up Harrison Barnes did turn down his 15% trade kicker. Not turned down. They were able to negotiate it out, or he said he would remove his 15% trade kicker to make the deal work for San Antonio.
Wow.
Interesting stuff. It's a good savings for the Kings.
Also in the chatty house, just before we get out of here, and salute to Harrison Martz, Tin said Teron Johnson, Bill's cornerback from Weber State, is from Sac. Isn't that Trumaine Johnson? Oh, no, he was Montana. Montana? Trumaine Johnson was Montana. Anyways.
I don't know.
Shout out to Teron Johnson. That's right. Different player. My bad. Good knowledge, Tin. Okay, we're going to get out of here. James, go feel better. Kenny Caraway coming up next. No D'Lo. D'Lo on vacation this week, so just KC today. Coming up next on ESPN 1320. James and I will be back tomorrow. We are the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We'll talk to you at 10 o'clock. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.